From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. When it comes to understanding the wonders of science, most of us can use a helping hand. Some scientists are happy to oblige, but some balk at being taken away from their research and even criticize those who speak publicly. Here's NPR's Joe Palca.
Cornell University astronomer Steve Squires is principal investigator for the Mars Exploration Rovers, the six-wheeled robotic geologists that have spent the last year roaming around the red planet.
The American taxpayers didn't come up with $850 million for this mission just so my team and I could have a good time and write some papers.
Squires is happy to talk about his research.
I feel very strongly that those of us who have the enormous privilege of participating in something like this also take with that privilege a responsibility to explain to people in common, simple, everyday language that anyone can understand what we're doing.
And Squires is good at talking about his work. He was all over the airwaves and the newspapers at the height of the Mars missions.
I mean, this is not complicated stuff in many respects. We built robots. We're looking at rocks. We're finding out what it was like on Mars a long time ago. It's not hard stuff to understand. It's not hard stuff to explain.
Squires wasn't the first Cornell astronomer to speak eloquently about exploring Mars.
Mars has become a kind of mythic arena onto which we've projected our earthly hopes and fears.
Carl Sagan was an academic scientist. He was a professor of astronomy at Cornell. But his fame came from his ability to engage people about the delights of science. This clip is from his 1980 PBS series Cosmos.
The real Mars is a world of wonders. Its future prospects are far more intriguing than our past apprehensions about it.
Carl Sagan may have been a hit with the public, but he bombed with his colleagues, at least some of them. Cosmologist Mike Turner recently moved from the University of Chicago to the National Science Foundation. He says it's clear Sagan took heat for his popularity.
Well, there are honors that he should have received that he didn't. For example, he should have been a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and he wasn't. He should have received an honorary degree from the University of Chicago, and he didn't. And, of course, people sniped at him.
Turner says the more popular Sagan became with the public, the less popular he became with his scientific peers. Why? Turner says there are several reasons, jealousy among them. For some reason, many scientists felt being a good communicator was incompatible with being a good scientist. Biologist Rex Chisholm of Northwestern University says that attitude hasn't gone away.
Many of the very successful scientists are really very focused on what they do as scientists and think only about that next experiment or how to interpret the data, and see spending time thinking about how to convey that information effectively as really a distraction.
But Chisholm says that view is becoming less common. For one thing, now the competition for federal money is intense.
My sense is, at least, that people are much more inclined these days to understand that the public is in large paying for our research and our ability to do the experiments that we're doing, so we owe them something in return for that.
And it's also the case that Carl Sagan made it easier for those who came after him, like Mars rover scientist Steve Squires.
I think Carl did a wonderful job of showing people in my profession, in a very tangible way, the benefits of communicating well with the public. Since Carl did Cosmos, a whole generation of new students who were first turned on to science by Carl Sagan have come into this business. And that's changed people's attitudes in a big way.
But Squires might not be as safe from sniping as he thinks. The NSF's Mike Turner says he hears whispers.
The other day, I saw a comment made about Steve, and it said, you know, he's really good at explaining this to the public, but, you know, he's also a great scientist, too. So there's still a little bit of, you couldn't both be a good explainer and a good scientist.
Turner says that's just not the case. And the sooner scientists learn that, the better. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.